This is the Life Truth Network.
All right, you know, it's been a while since we've done our journey through the Bible, but I think we got a treat for you today. I'm going to see if I can find a sermon called What Sin Did. Now, that sermon is going to cover part of chapter 3 where we left off. And so hopefully that will help as we go further in to our journey through the Bible. So let's listen as, well, I preach a sermon called What Sin Did. This episode was released February 21st of 2017, and it was episode 96 of Protectors of the Book. So it's been a while since this one's been put out, but here it is.
Turn, if you will, this morning to Genesis chapter 3. Heard more than one person say, and I very much agree, if you don't believe in Genesis, you might as well not believe in the rest of the Bible, because that's where its foundations lie. Amen. I know a lot of people try to, what is the word, allegorize or make Genesis to be just a story with a moral, and it is far more than that. The book of Genesis tells historical accounts of things that actually happened, and everything in Genesis actually happened, and the lessons we learn from Genesis are learned at the cost and expense of the experience of other people. Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 1, we see Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. As we start, Genesis 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you today. We just thank you so much for everything you teach us and everything that you want to teach us. Help me speak your words and not my own. Forgive us for we failed you. Pray that if somebody here doesn't know Jesus, Lord, that this will be a message that will always direct them to the cross, Lord, so they can accept you before it's too late. But not just that, Lord, let this be also a message to those of us who do know you, that there is a price to pay for sin. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
In 1977... George Lucas put out a film that started a saga that is still going on today. The saga is called Star Wars. And it has some fun characters and some spooky ones too. One of the villains, the main villain, in my opinion, of the Star Wars series was not the Emperor, but was Darth Vader, the big tall guy with the black mask that had the breathing problem. Well, in the new movie that came out last year, it was the year before that. It's called The Force Awakens, with the original cast all still in it. There was a villain by the name of Kylo Ren. And this villain had a grandfather who was Darth Vader. I say was, of course, because by this time, Darth Vader is gone. But he, this Kylo Ren guy, idolizes his grandfather. Wants to be just like him. Well, there's a problem with that. You see, Darth Vader, one, was bad. He wasn't a good guy. He did some very bad things. But he also went through a horrible, horrible path to get to where he was. And if Kylo Ren knew the path of terrible things that it would cost to be just like his grandfather, the question comes, would he still be all gung-ho to go at it and be just like his grandfather? Well, the question I now ask is this. What about us? You see, there's a lot of people in this world that are just like that Kylo Ren. They want to live a life of sin. They want to live a life filled with power. But the problem is, sin has a cost. And if we go back, if a person who is just all gung-ho about wanting to sin and wanting to live a life his own way, if we could go back and see what that costs, would they still be so adamantly on the side of sin? I hope not. Maybe some of them would, because sin has blinded them. But I want us to take a look today at what sin did, at the cost, this original sin, and of course, our sin nature, sin in general, costs us. And I want us to take a look at what it cost mankind, what it did, so that when we think about sin, when we're tempted to sin, we remember what it cost. Because it had a great cost. The first thing we see is in the first two verses where it says, "The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, has God said, you will eat of every tree of the garden?" Do you see what he's doing there? He knew what God said. Spoiler, this is actually the devil. In some kind of, I don't know whether he must have possessed the serpent, because God ends up punishing the serpent, so the devil must have possessed the serpent. Almost feel for the serpent, I'm telling you. But he tries to twist what God says. And when he's trying to twist what God says, what he's really trying to do is make you doubt. One of two things. He's trying to either make you doubt what God said, or make you doubt the validity of what God said. Now we'll get to the second one in a minute, but right now, he's just trying to twist it to make her think. And the problem is, thinking isn't bad, but when you start to contemplate on things the devil wants us to think about, that's usually not a good thing. Now, the devil, first off, says, Hey, eat. Didn't God say you could eat of any tree you wanted to? See what he's doing there? Didn't God say you could eat of any tree you wanted to? In other words, I got some fruit right here that's going to blow your mind. Now, Eve did have a little bit of brains about it. The Bible says later she was fooled, but she at least knew this. That fruit's no good. And here is what she tells the devil and this serpent. "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit which is of the tree in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Okay, I got an atta girl and a what were you thinking? All in one thing here. The atta girl is this. Good job, Eve. You told them that you ain't touching that fruit. That's good. Problem is, she added to what God told them. Let me read to you what God actually told. And if you want to flip back, you can. It's just a little bit back there. It's in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. This is what God really said. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Does it say anywhere in there that they ain't supposed to touch it? Nope. Now I can see one of two things happening. Either Adam delivered the message, because this was before Eve showed up. Either Adam delivered the message and told Eve, now God said, don't you even touch that thing. Because he wanted to make sure she didn't go near it. Or Eve misunderstood and added to it. But either way is wrong. Let me tell you why it's wrong. There is nothing wrong with placing hedges of protection around yourself. There is nothing wrong with placing additional obstacles in your way to sin. What is wrong is saying God said something when he didn't say it. Preachers are terrible about this. And I had a seminary teacher that said this. He says, if we're going to stand in the pulpit and say, thus saith the Lord, he says, we better make sure the Lord said it. Good for Eve in not even wanting to touch it. That's great. But don't say God said that when he didn't. Because I ask myself, and I ask you, did Eve open herself up to a can of worms by adding to what the Lord said? And I guess only God knows for sure. All I know is it's dangerous. Don't change God's word, because we're giving the devil a foothold when we do. In verse 4, the serpent replies, ye shall not surely die, for God knows in the day you eat it, then your eyes will be opened, and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know something? The devil is doing this right now, today, in this time. What's he doing? He's calling God a liar. Let me tell you how he's doing it. And it's not just this. This is not the only example. And I'm going to say this even though I'm recording this. But homosexuality and churches that believe that that's okay are calling God a liar.
Amen.
Now that doesn't mean I hate the person, but God hates the sin. And we live in a world today where the devil is just every day trying to call God a liar. When we talk about children being killed before they're born, the devil, and I ain't going to say possesses, but he does use some high dollar lady or man to go, it's not a baby. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's not murder. Yes, it is.
Sure is.
And when we listen to the devil, when he calls God a liar, we are opening ourselves up for some major problems. But this is what devil did. See, the first thing the devil tried to do is get Eve to doubt God. Now he's trying to get Eve to do what God said not to do. By the only word I can think of it is extolling the benefits, but that's a big word. By glorying on the benefits of doing this thing that God said not to do. In other words, he says, let me tell you the benefits of doing this thing. Planned Parenthood telling people, let me tell you the benefits of killing this child. You won't have to deal with the responsibility. You won't have to deal with the guilt. But how many a mother now has to deal with the guilt, instead of the guilt of having the child, the guilt of killing the child. The devil said, "You shall not surely die." And I guess you could say it was a half-truth. They didn't physically die completely right there. Spiritually, however, they did. Right then, right there, they were gone. And physically, the clock was ticking. The devil tried to call God a liar, but God was not a liar. Now, the devil was a liar. And he is still lying today. Unfortunately, Eve listened. I want to show you two tragedies here. Verse 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat." I want to tell you so much in this one verse. So much. And I'm trying to figure out where to go first, because some of it wasn't in my outline. You know, God does that from time to time. One of the biggest tragedies, I'll just go ahead and say it, is the fact that this whole time Adam was there and he was silent. I didn't catch this, by the way, until just now. You say, "Just now?" Yeah. Two words. "With her." Let me read what I'm talking about. "And did he, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat." He was there the whole time and he didn't say a thing. You want to know why God blames Adam? Silence is acceptance. Can we all say that, please? Silence is acceptance. When we are silent in the presence of sin, you're pretty much okay. Now, I will say this. I realize that there's a time and a place. I realize that it's not right necessarily to stick my finger in somebody's face and say, "You're living wrong." Because he's allowed to say, "I didn't ask you." But you know, there are times where we are asked. Do not keep silent. Well, I could offend somebody if I tell them what I really feel. You could offend God if you don't. If what you feel is what God says. Otherwise, maybe you should keep silent. One of the biggest tragedies in this whole thing is Adam was right there. And he didn't say a thing. And that's not even in my notes. Three types of temptation here. You have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and you have the pride of life. And the amazing thing is, it's all right here in this one verse. There are three types of temptation, and Satan attacked her at every bit of them, and she fell. First of all, there's the lust of the flesh. We see that she saw that the tree was good for food. In other words, all of a sudden she got kind of hungry, and that looked pretty good. It was pleasant to the eyes. Well, that's a pretty, pretty fruit. I bet, man, I'd sure like to sink my teeth into that. "And a tree to be desired to make one wise." That's the pride of life. I'll tell you about the pride of life. What the pride of life does is it says, "I deserve better. I deserve to do what I want to do." Pride of life says, "It's my life. I can do what I want to do." God says, "I made you. And what are you going to do with that?" So they eat. Verse 7 says, "The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." They tried to fix their problem. But Isaiah 64:6, I'm just going to try to quote it. It says, "We are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousness are as filthy rags to God." What that means is, I can try to fix myself, but it ain't going to work. It's almost like going to a filling station, taking an oil rag, putting the, you know, in soapy water and trying to wash your windshield with it. You're just making it worse. Because that oil spreads. You're just making it worse. It's kind of like digging a grave and then trying to get stuck in it, trying to dig your way out. You're just making a bigger hole. And that's what sin is doing, and that's what men are doing when they try to work their way to heaven. They're just digging themselves a bigger hole, making it worse than it was to begin with. What you really need to do is accept that you're a sinner like God says you are. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, you mentioned the Romans wrote this morning, that the gift of God, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
But they tried to fix themselves. Well, we can't do that. But sin did make them conscious of their failure. Unfortunately, that wasn't enough. Sin made them want to hide. Look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and among the trees of the garden. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Brother Kyle came a couple weeks ago. He said, you gotta hide something. It's probably not good. They were hiding themselves. Why? Because they realized, Adam realized, I am not good. Eve realized, I am not good. Why? Because of sin. Listen, Adam and Eve went from walking openly in the garden, talking to God, fellowshipping with God one-on-one, to hiding from God. That's a cost, folks. And I want to tell you something. We're paying that cost today. And we start off, you know, Adam started life walking with God. And then this sin hit, and now he's hiding from God. We start our lives hiding from God. But because of Jesus Christ, if we trust Him, we can walk with God. You know, and God asks, you know, where are you, Adam? Where are you? Well, God knew where Adam was. God was just giving Adam a chance to fess up. I'm just going to tell, since we're running out of time, I'm just going to tell the story that we've probably heard a trillion times. But it's in Genesis 3. It goes on through the 24th verse. I encourage you to keep reading for as long as you can stand it, because it gives you good stuff, okay? God, you know, they come out and says, God, sorry, we hid, we realized we were naked. And God's like, who told you you were naked? Like, well, you know that fruit you told us not to eat? We ate it. You ate of that fruit, yeah. Well, the woman you made me, she gave it to me, and so I ate it. First of all, you're supposed to be in charge here, Adam. Second of all, you were there the whole time. You could have stopped it. Third of all, let me ask you a question. Adam's words were, the woman you made me gave to me, and I ate. So we all like passing the buck, don't we? Let me ask you a question. Was Adam blaming the woman? Or was he blaming God? The woman you made me, God. We need to be careful where we cast our blame. I'm pretty sure God ain't going to take it. And the truth was, while Eve may have had a hand in what Adam did, the blame lies with Adam. And I ain't going to go through all the penalties. Well, I will, but real quickly, and I might miss some. Work got a whole lot harder. Childbirth got a whole lot harder.
The worst thing that happens is one, and the worst thing that happens is not even them getting kicked out of the garden, which by the way they are. The worst thing that happens is now there is this line of separation between God and man. And yet, God wasn't taken by surprise. Look at verse 15. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman," he's talking to the snake, "and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Let me tell you what God was really saying here. He was saying, "Eve, the devil's going to be with you the rest of your life. By the way, you ain't going to like snakes too much either." Sorry, I looked at my wife over there and she's making a face. We don't like snakes, do we?
No.
But it's the head and the heel I want us to look at real quick. Yeah, devil, you're going to bruise his heel. But he's going to crush you. What's he saying? One day a virgin will conceive and bring forth a child. And by the way, she called the child Jesus. He died on the cross. Satan bruised Jesus' heel in that he got killed. Problem was, he rose again. And Satan was crushed. And one day, he's going to go in eternal torment. Guess what? Satan lost. Before it even began, Satan lost. And it would all play out just like God said it would.
Now the question I want to ask you is this. You see what sin costs us? I want to ask you, is that a price you're willing to pay? Let me ask you, to the person who has already trusted Christ, we get tempted to sin a lot. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to bear." In other words, everybody goes through a temptation, and yours isn't any different from somebody else's who's going through the same kind of problem. But God is faithful, who will not tempt you above what you're able to take. But will with that temptation also provide a way to escape that you can be able to bear it. Adam could have said no. So can we. Those of us who have trusted Christ, we're still given the choice to say no every day. And if you think that God will forgive, it's true that He will. But don't think there aren't consequences to every sin we do.
That's right.
And there's a price higher than we want to pay. Mm-hmm. For those who haven't trusted Christ, the price is a whole lot higher. Mm-hmm. And it's forever. If you die without knowing Jesus, you go to hell. That's all there is to it. And from there, there's a lake of fire that gets worse. Look at Revelation. It says death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. It gets worse. But Jesus came down here, died, and rose again so you wouldn't have to deal with that. He paid our sin debt for us so that all we got to do is say, "God, I want you to take control of my life. Forgive me of my sin. I'm giving it to you." He answers that prayer. If we just ask. He's paid the price already. Jesus has done all the works necessary to get to heaven. So we can't do heaven by works. He's paid all the price necessary to get to heaven. So there ain't nothing we can pay to get there either. We just have to humble ourselves before God. Do so before it's too late. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done to give us this message. Please, Lord, if somebody here doesn't know you, let them trust you before it's too late. If somebody here needs to change their life, just lead them up. If they want to pray where they are, that's fine too, Lord. But we want to know that they've made a decision. Help them be brave enough to let us know. Forgive us where we failed you. You work your will. In Jesus' name, amen.